Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mary.
Sticks and stones can break my bones, but
words can never hurt me.
Tell that to the 8.8 million Australians who have experienced cyberbullying. According to a survey done by the ACCC, 44% of women and 34% of men have experienced one or more forms of online harassment. And that statistic doesn't even include the perennial problem of verbal abuse. Just one-to-one, face-to-face. At least with verbal abuse, you know who is being mean to you. Present-day abusers, called trolls, are cowards who seek the anonymity of the internet. So much for tweeting others as you would tweet yourself. The troublesome tongue now terrorises the territory of terrible text messages. Our sermon series is called Living Under the Lordship of Christ. This means following God's command to love him and to love others, which we heard this morning in our service, as well as following the command of Jesus to love one another as he has loved us. So far, Isaac has talked to us about the wandering eye and our need to live in control. Celia then talked to us about the idle hand and our need to live in service. Next was Jasper, who talked to us about the prideful heart and our need to live in humility. This week I continue the series by talking about the troublesome tongue and our need to live in truthfulness. Before we unpack that message, let's ask God to help us understand and act on what we hear. Almighty God and Father, again, as always, we pray that you would open our eyes that we may see your truth, open our minds to understand it, open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have the wandering eye, the idle hand, the prideful heart, lust, laziness, and lack of humility. We may call these victimless crimes. But nearly every time we open our mouth to speak, someone is either helped or hurt. Imagine if everyone had a needle meter, something analog rather than numbers, digital numbers. It's a needle that moves. Imagine if everyone had a needle meter over their head that registered their response to what you were saying to them. The needle might swing between two extremes of pleasure and pain. Do you dare to consider the impact that your words might have on another human being? I mean, how would that be for you to know and see the impact your words are having on others? Well, Solomon thought about it. He considered it, and he came up with this wonderful statement in Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Marvellous statement. Needle goes all the way over to the good side. If Solomon could have seen one of those sideshow alleys, he might have said that a word fitly spoken is like hitting the strength test plate with a huge mallet and ringing the bell at the top. It's a beautiful thing and quite a rare achievement. James is less optimistic about our ability to control what we say. James 3, 5 and 6, how great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. They're strong words, aren't they? About such a small part of our body that we don't even look at. It's one of the things we can see every other part of our body, but we don't think about looking at the tongue that does the most damage. James understands the destructive nature of our words and our struggle to control them. In James 3, 7, for every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. quite the opposite to Solomon's picture of apples of gold in a setting of silver. This is more like Snow White's poisoned apple. Controlling what comes out of our mouths is not an easy task. As it says in James 3:2, for all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. Forget about adultery and everything else. If you can keep your mouth under control, you can keep your body under control. So don't beat yourself up about the mistakes that you've made in speaking. You are not Robinson Crusoe in this matter. We are all in the same boat, says James, and it's a sinking boat. The real problem is being blissfully unaware of the pain we inflict with our words. Or worse, being aware of the pain and not caring about who we hurt. So the first step in solving any problem is to acknowledge that we have a problem. Not everything we say is bad, but not everything we say is good either. And it is our inconsistency which drives James to despair in James 3 verse 9. With our tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God, especially if we're driving in traffic in Sydney. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. And the obvious response, my brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Duh. This is not right. Our problem is not that we speak either good words or bad words, but that we speak both good words and bad words. And this was the problem with Israel, almost from the beginning. The problem of what they call syncretism. Synchromash is, you know, things that work together. This is the problem of praising God and praising Baal. Both right words and wrong words come from the same mouth. Could it be that we have the same problem? Could it be that we praise God on some occasions, like this morning, while causing God pain with our words at other times, let alone the person that we speak to? We know that God is not fooled by our words because he knows our hearts. That's what Matthew 15:8 says. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I'm not fooled by the words that come out of their mouth. I know the motivation, says God. We all have a problem with our inconsistent behaviour, especially in our words. And James considers this to be inconceivable, to steal a word from the Princess Bride. This is inconceivable. It's as inconceivable as a stream flowing with both fresh and salt water, brackish water, at the same time, not like a tidal ebb or flow, but at the same time having both fresh and salt water flowing together. That doesn't happen. It can't happen. It shouldn't happen. It's like a fig tree bearing olives or a grapevine bearing figs. It's unnatural. It's unnatural compared to God's original good creation. But since the fall, it has become our new normal. And that's why we all struggle with it. Why does God give us commandments? Why are they so specific? In those 10 commandments, he seems to hammer the things that we're likely to do wrong. But we come to the 9th commandment and we think, with all the murder and the adultery and the dishonouring parents, and the 9th commandment focuses in on our failure to always speak the truth. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. We put that right down sort of towards the back, don't we? That's not important. Not as important as adultery and murder. It's one of the 10 commandments. Many of us were privileged to watch a video series on the 10 commandments by a man named J. John. In his talk on the 9th commandment, he made this great statement. Everything I say needs to be true, but not everything that's true needs to be said. Why can't we simply filter out the hurtful and only say the helpful? Romans 14:19 encourages us to do that. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. J. John also included a helpful section on gossip, not on how to do it, but how to avoid it. Gossip is opinion masquerading as truth. If we can't confirm something is true, then we shouldn't repeat it. And even if it is true, do we really need to repeat it? Will it hurt or will it help other people? Sometimes saying sorry is the thing we fall back to. Oh, sorry. Sometimes saying sorry is too little, too late. The damage has already been done. Sometimes we try to excuse what we have said, saying, oh, I didn't mean it. It just slipped out. Remember, one of our teachers at school would always say, things that slip out of your mind are things that are on the edge of your consciousness. So we are actually then thinking these things before we say them. And that's where the problem begins. Jesus says in Matthew 12 from verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure. And the evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. So how do we change the content, that treasure of our heart? Well, we ask God for help. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. The solution involves building up a treasure of good things in our minds, so that what spills over, what just slips out, can only be words that bring about good. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Fill your mind with those things so that whatever overflows or slips out will be good, and praiseworthy and excellent and honourable. And helpful. Does all this really matter? I mean, with all the things going on in the world and murder and rape and terrible things, wars, and here we are talking about saying a few things that might upset someone. Does it really matter? Well, yes. According to Matthew 12, it matters a lot. Matthew 12:36, we heard read, I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. And that's scary, isn't it? Apart from challenging our behaviour, these words from Jesus might challenge our belief in justification by faith alone, the thing we stand firm on. This sounds more like justification by works, or in this case, justification by words. How can this be true? How can this be in the Bible? We know that Judgment Day will confirm that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us, that all deserve God's judgment. But in reality, we are all condemned already because of the things we have said and done, not to mention the things that we failed to say and do. But as Christians, we know that Jesus came to this world, lived and died and rose again. He has stepped in and taken the punishment that we deserve for all those things, all those failures. For those who put their faith in Jesus, the Bible says there is no condemnation. We're in the law court, we're condemned as guilty, but that punishment having already been paid doesn't have to fall on us anymore. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because the penalty has already been paid. Jesus paid that on the cross. But that doesn't mean that we can say and do whatever we like from now on. When we trust in Jesus, our goal is to become more like him, to conform to his image, to love like him, to forgive like him, to speak the truth in love like him. People will know that we are the disciples of Jesus by the way we live like him. Jesus is not only our Saviour, he is our Lord, which means we follow his commands and we try to live the way he wants us to live. What better time than the start of a new year to remind ourselves to live under the Lordship of Christ in everything we say and do. The Bible's focus on telling the truth is magnified when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus, and even more so when it comes to teachers who teach God's people about faith in Christ. I wonder if you noticed that this is the context for the words of James in chapter 3 of his letter. Remember how James begins chapter 3? Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And everything that follows, the destructive nature of the tongue, which is a restless evil full of deadly poison, is actually aimed at false teachers who try to lead God's people astray. That's why it's so dangerous and poisonous, because it has eternal consequence. Not just that you've said something mean to someone, but that you've led someone away from Christ with your false teaching. It is aimed at would-be church leaders who have become like the Pharisees, of whom Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil?" Because of the problem we have with truthfulness, even Christians should evaluate what they are hearing from preachers and not just assume that it's true. It's the problem we have with the internet. People look at the internet as if it's everything's true that you read, and it's not. Not even Paul was immune from such scrutiny back in the early days. Acts 17:11 tells us that the Berean Christians were more receptive than those in Thessalonica, for they welcomed the message very eagerly and examined the scriptures every day to see whether these things were so. They weren't just going to take Paul's word for it. They were going to check out to see if it was true, and then they would believe it. We are not only to speak the truth, but we are also to seek the truth. So sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's just not true. It's not true. Words are incredibly powerful. We know that. They're powerful for good and they're powerful for evil. We begin this year as forgiven sinners, as people who struggle with our words. We begin this year seeking God's help as we follow the example of our Lord, seeking to live under his lordship. So let us ask God to remove the blinkers from our eyes which prevent us from seeing the pain and the damage that our careless words inflict. Let us ask God for the wisdom we need to better handle the truth and to present it clearly. Let us fill our minds with good things so that the good words may flow from us to other people. Let us dare to consider the impact of our words on other people, knowing that nearly every time we open our mouth to speak, someone is either hurt or helped. Let's pray. And my prayer is that God will strengthen our resolve to live under the Lordship of Christ in everything we do, including and perhaps specifically in everything we say. Amen.